Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you want to be a ninja?
Darren and Lito will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because they're not that strong.
This is the American Ninja Warrior song.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Rehappa Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Lita. How are you doing, Lita?
I am good. We are going to get into so much of places that I've actually been to this week between Cincinnati and Baltimore. Truly an expert on these places. We just really needed to put them together. It was totally intentional for us to not do a podcast last week, just so we could really dedicate the appropriate amount of time to these great American cities.
Yes, that's definitely what was happening. Unfortunately, we had some scheduling issues, so this podcast is going to be a combination of the past two episodes. We're going to run through Baltimore and Cincinnati.
Yes, what kind of person would do updates at 11 in the morning when that's seemingly the only time that I'm not working?
That's a terrible person.
Yeah, some kind of monster to make things inconvenient for my two jobs.
I should also warn you that I am caffeinated right now and literally jittery.
I'm also caffeinated, but I don't think the listeners have ever heard me not caffeinated.
Yeah, it's not a very usual thing for me.
Caffeinated. Yeah, I came onto this call and Taryn was lit, coming in hot.
Yeah, I was in the middle of a workout, and so my head is a little strange at the moment.
That's fine. It's a good thing we've got so much material to get through because you'll be talking at 1.5 speed.
Exactly. I have adjusted the podcast barometer to 150%. We're ready to go.
Yeah, so that when you listen on 3x speed, if you're a crazy person like Taryn, this will be even faster.
4.5.
Jesus. I don't know if that's even a setting. What's the point? Okay, let's talk about these ninjas.
All right, so back in Baltimore, episode 5 of American Ninja Warrior. We had a course here starting with the shrinking steps, then the double twister, which was an obstacle where you grabbed onto the little hooks and it twists, and you have to jump onto the next hooks and those twist, and then you dismount.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Then we had the dangerous curves.
I find this to be an oddly sensual name for an obstacle. The dangerous curves.
Dangerous curves.
It seems a little lascivious to me.
Watch out. Those curves are dangerous. You might get enticed.
Yeah, exactly. You're not cutting that out. It's like the wave runner, but they go up and down.
Right. I liked this one. Yeah. They climbed up on the board and the boards were curved. They had dangerous curves, enticing curves. Uh-huh. And so they climbed up the boards and then gripped onto a spinny board in the middle that they had to spin around to the other side and then go down a board that was curved. And so that's how very dangerous.
It's curved and dangerous.
Not as dangerous as we're going to see in Cincinnati with all the blood.
Nobody is bleeding.
Not yet. Then we have the hazard cones, which is an agility balance obstacle where it's, what was it, like four different cones, four or five that spin and you have to sort of like traverse across them. I like this one.
Did this seem so much harder than the average balance obstacle to you, or did it just look harder?
I don't know. To me, it looked easier.
Whoa. I don't know. I guess if, like, just looking at it on TV, I guess, like, it's not as easy to figure out what you're supposed to do than the ones where you literally just, like, run across.
Yeah.
So it seemed more challenging to me. It seemed more complicated, but I don't actually know.
Yeah, maybe it would just be, like, a personal preference thing where I'd prefer to sort of, like, be jumping on these angled things than, like, spinny, horizontally spinny. Like these were like diagonally spinny.
Uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's more like parkour than balance.
Yes. Almost,
'cause you're jumping side to side.
Yeah.
Rather than having to stay on top of balls or whatever.
Yeah. And I also honestly prefer watching this one to just the run across ones.
Yeah, there was a lot more dramatic falls.
Yeah. So that's the hazard cones. Then we get to crank it up. We've seen this one before. You just jump onto the handles and you have to crank them up and around. And there's three of them.
I don't like that there was an obstacle called the dangerous curves followed by the hazard cones. Those are too close.
Hmm.
Hazard, danger. It should have been like, I don't know. So I was going to say the caution cones, but that's the same.
There
that's
are the dangerous thing. Curves. There are hazardous cones. And then you crank it up.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed like the two obstacle names were two in the same vein. If you're going to do that, the whole course has to be called like the killer cliffs. I just invented an obstacle.
Submit it.
Okay. I don't know what's involved in that because I don't know how to draw. So I would have to commission an artist.
We'll have to get Kevin Carbone to help out.
Yeah. Or Kevin Brecky. Any of the Kevins that are friends of the podcast. Kevin Carbone isn't actually a friend of the podcast. As I am constantly reminded.
All right. Well, then, of course, you have the warped wall and mega wall. You have that going on. All right. So we started the episode. We're going to, you know, maybe not be quite as detailed since we're doing a double episode here. I'm going to run through some of the highlights of the episode. But we did start with Daniel Elskent. I don't know.
It's probably one of those. I have a deep prejudice towards a cappella groups.
Oh, no.
And yeah, and this did not help, especially because A, this took so long, and B, he wasn't even the one soloing.
Yeah, that was strange.
It was weird. It was like, I'm going to highlight my friend because I'm not a good enough singer to do the solo.
What is your problem with a cappella groups?
They were really annoying in college. I went to a school that was like a really, really, really good musical theater school, like a top three musical theater school in the country. But that's not what I went to school for. So like the people who were musical at Michigan were like super clicky because they're just like, we are like the best singers in like the whole country. And like we're 18 and we have been validated by adults saying that we're going to make it as singers. And like it was just a lot. Also, I did audition for an a cappella group and they did reject me. So there's some of that. But also it was just a particular culture on campus that involved a lot of people that I did not get along with. Although one of my best friends was in one a cappella group, that was fine.
You know, at first I was offended because I have been known to dabble in the a cappella. But you're absolutely right. In college, they sucked.
Yes. Yes. I did a cappella in high school. Yeah. Yeah. When it's not like competitive, it's really fun.
Yeah.
It's just that the people who did it because they went to like national competitions and stuff. It was quite irritating.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So he did not do particularly well. He's going to go down in the hazard cones.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Can we not skip the next guy because he can, in fact, call me?
Yes. Alex Goodwin, who he was like an animal rescue guy.
Yeah, he rescued animals from zoos and then takes care of them.
And he brought a snake.
Yes. And a lot of snake content on reality TV this week.
Truly.
Also, his thing is that he's the natural, but isn't somebody else already the natural?
Pretty sure that's a name already taken.
Yeah, that one's taken.
Yeah. He did make it to crank it up, though.
Bert the Snake is a really good name for a snake. Bert.
Bert.
I like that.
What's up, Bert? How's it going?
I like very
why you,
person.
Why are you wrapping yourself around my neck, Bert? Bert? Bert! No!
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like very person names for animals.
We had Taylor Johnson was a very short person.
Was that a boy or a girl?
She.
Like I said, you have to have non-gender neutral names if we don't remember you.
She went out on the dangerous curves. Not going to make a comment about her curves. We saw Judas Licardello.
Oh, I remember him.
Yes, he went out on the hazard cones. Not good.
Was he the barber?
I don't recall.
Okay. Not a concrete barber, a regular barber.
Mm, he did not qualify. He usually Yikes. Does.
Yeah.
So this is the problem. I always scroll down to see if they qualified, and then I have to find my place again, scrolling all the way back up.
You should just have it as a separate list beside your notes.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. It's to double my amount of notes here. Kevin Lang went out on Crank It Up.
Okay. Kevin Lang.
I figure if I say enough versions, I'll get one of them right and it'll be all right.
Yeah, but then you're guaranteed to get some of them wrong.
That's fine, though. Okay. If somebody said Taryn, Terrence, Tehran, Tehran, Taryn, I'd be like, yeah, he got there.
Do people really pronounce your name Tehran?
I don't know. I've heard lots of things.
Tehran, like the capital of Iran?
I don't know.
Is that right? I don't want to be geographically inaccurate here. Yeah, it's the capital of Iran. T-E-H-R-A-N.
Oh, yes. See, in my head, I was like T-A-Y.
No, no, like
R-A-R-O-N. Tehran.
Yeah, it's close enough that people could pronounce your name like that, I guess. I don't know. I get Lita a lot, which makes no sense.
Lita, yeah. That makes sense.
No, it doesn't. Not how you would pronounce
with
that.
With an
I guess it does make sense because you don't say literature. You say literature, even though it's still L-I-T.
I'm fond of the literature.
Oh, I love literature. Can I get you some literature on the subject?
Oh, boy. Who's up next? Angela Gargano.
That seems right.
She was injured last year.
Yeah, I don't remember this at all.
I don't either.
Her getting hurt in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but she came onto the course with a knee brace. And she then threw it away.
I imagined like doctors in the audience being like, no.
It seemed largely symbolic.
Yeah, I guess so. She was a cover girl of the very sexy magazine Women's Health.
I don't know if that's sarcasm or not.
It is sarcasm. Well, when they said she was a cover girl, I thought like Playboy.
Okay.
Cover girl, like, it's weird to call somebody a cover girl just because they were on the cover of a magazine. I feel like cover girl has a specific implication.
I feel like cover girl is from the 90s. Like, we're done with magazines.
Ugh, I love magazines.
Okay.
I'm like one of the only people that still buys Cosmo every month.
Exactly. It's a dying brand.
Yeah, but it's great. There's nothing better than flipping through a magazine while you have music on. Ugh, I feel like I'm 12 and like looking at boys.
I can think of one thing better, at least, which is browsing the internet while listening to music.
No, no.
All right.
You get too easily distracted.
Well, she went out on the hazard cones, but she is going to qualify in the top five women.
Great. Good for her.
Yes. You have a look on your face.
Well, yeah, because I just have a comment. I just have a note written with no context. It just says, you got to be smooth like Vermont maple syrup. Sweet. But I don't know who it's about or what it's referring to. And I'm also confused about why the University of Maryland cheerleaders are there, even though the University of Maryland is not in Baltimore.
I also have that quote. It's for Brandon Stenta.
Oh, okay. What, was he from Vermont?
I guess so.
Or maybe he's a maple syrup maker. That would be a fun job.
No, this is the guy who had a son. He was a single father and he had the son in high school.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he still looks like a child.
Right, yeah.
Yes. And so he has a young son. He's doing it for him. And Akbar says, you've got to be smooth like Vermont maple syrup on this one.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah. So it was looking maybe like he wasn't going to finish, but he actually did get through Crank It Up and managed to become the first finisher of the night. He completed this course.
Yes. Mazel tov. Another victory for Teen Pregnancy.
There you go. Then we had Carter Olson, who, went out on the dangerous curves, also qualified in the top five women though.
Okay.
Then we had, see, this is what happens. I scroll down, scrolling down. It's a dangerous, dangerous job.
dangerous curves.
It's dangerous scrolls. Anthony Eardley went out on Crank It Up. Nick Green was a firefighter.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Got caught up on the double twister.
In one of these montages, did Akbar say someone is an underwater welder? Or did I make that up? Because I swear to God, he said underwater welder.
Do not know.
Which, how is that possible? Isn't fire like a really important thing? In welding? I don't know.
Scientific advancements can surprise you.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't say underwater welder. This is going to be like when I thought he said Conan O'Brien, but it was Kobe Bryant. And then I got a bunch of tweets about it. Anyway, I would be impressed if he was an underwater welder.
Yes. Well, I believe he eventually will go out on the dangerous curves, this firefighter. Then we get Abby Clark, who we know.
Yes. And this was the quickest, like, ugh to smile moment that I had all season, where they're like, and there's a little ninja at home, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be a kid, and that was a dog. Which is so great because I like to see dogs on TV and don't like to see kids.
Yes. Unfortunately, she's going to go out on the hazard cone, so she was going to make it past the dangerous curves, but can't get past the hazard cones. She's going to be our second place female finisher of the night. Then we're going to go to Alicia Tavani Candela, who went on the double twister.
Is she the black belt?
Yes.
That was weird because they like promoed her. They were like, we have a 6-degree black belt coming up. And then it was like, while we were away, the 6-degree black belt ran. What? They montaged her.
No, they featured her in a montage.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
I guarantee you that's how they put it by themselves. They're like, oh, we're featuring this one.
Yeah, definitely.
In a montage.
Hey, she still got on TV.
Exactly. Exactly. Then Connor Claffey, who was the guy, they were like, this guy knows a bunch of famous bands because he works at Madison Square Garden.
Honestly, being a Satan at Madison Square Garden is a very cool job. I get that he doesn't actually hang out with the rock stars, but that is a cool job.
Well, there you go. He went out on the hazard cones.
Yes.
Yes. Then we saw Lucio? Lucio? Batista, who is the mustache ninja.
Yeah, my favorite.
His mustache is 18 inches long. It's the biggest mustache I've ever experienced.
Oh my God, you're gross. Don't be gross. I know this is a Big Brother thing. Don't be gross. None of that.
It's a big mustache.
Size doesn't matter. It's what you do with the mustache.
Is that true? Size? I thought the bigger, the better.
Okay. You know what? You caught me. For me personally, yes, I prefer the mustache be bigger, but I'm saying that there are guys who can work with a small mustache and still have the same effect.
All right. I'm just saying, you just said, don't be gross.
I'm talking about facial hair.
The mustache ninja is going to make it to Crank It Up, which means that he will be advancing on to the city finals. We'll see more of the mustache ninja.
Yes. Thank God.
Yes. Then we are going to move on here to Connor Galvin, who is apparently the new guy with a grandpa.
Yeah. What happened to Casey Sutaki?
He is no longer the guy with a grandpa.
Yeah, I hope his grandpa's okay.
That would be very sinister that they. You don't have a grandpa anymore, sir. We're getting a new grandpa for the show.
There's a new grandpa in town, and his name is Ducky.
Ducky! He's got a better name and everything.
I don't even know Casey Suhaki's grandpa's name.
Exactly, because it's not Ducky.
It's not Ducky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, I have that he crushes teen dad's time, but I also don't remember either of their names. So it's grandpa guy and teen dad.
There you go. Akbar does say, are you kidding me? Shucky ducky, quack, quack. Nice.
Oh, that's a pretty good cheer for like the Oregon Ducks.
Akbar sounds like me when I'm caffeinated.
Shucky ducky, quack, quack,
quack, quack, nice.
Do you think we're going to have to keep a running tally for Shucky Ducky Quack Quack Nice?
How many Shucky Duckies?
Yes.
Oh, Shucky Ducky! Quack Quack No!
Oh, yeah, that definitely seems like something he would say if he falls on the final scores.
Yeah. We saw Carl Fantuzzo, who went out on the Shrinking Steps. It's no good.
No good.
We saw Casey Rothschild. She was a big star last year, and this time she was a montage, I believe.
How did she do?
She went out on the Dangerous Curves, did not qualify.
Yikes.
For the city finals. Oof. Ouch.
Rough.
She was one of the hey, promising new woman. And
yeah, I remember her. She's like really young, right?
Yes.
I think she is. Yeah.
Yes. Then we got another big disappointment disappointments here. John Alexis Jr., the Giant, he is going to go out on the Dangerous Curves. They were so dangerous.
Friend of the podcast, John Alexis Jr.
I wrote, no! Shucky Ducky, quack, quack, no!
It took such a long time to take notes for this because we had to write that out every time somebody fell.
It was very upsetting. all right. Then we move on to Joe Moravsky, weirdly getting the middle of the episode treatment.
Yeah, I guess it's like a disappointment for him.
Certainly. He lost his streak.
Yeah, so they didn't want to put it at the end. He lost his streak on a technicality, though.
I agree.
Yeah.
Especially because it was basically, you know, Joe and also they were doing promos where Joe was like, forecast for tonight, I'm going up that mega wall. And I could see it in his eyes that he hadn't made it. That this was, he'd already not done it. And he was dying a little bit inside.
Well, he didn't have music.
It's true. And you know, of course I could be completely wrong, but this was what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he wants to get up that mega wall. He gets to the end of the qualifying course. He does very well, of course, makes it up through the first crank it up in two moves. We're also going to see Najee do that. But when he goes to the mega wall, he's not even close.
Yeah.
First try, second try, third try, doesn't come close.
I definitely thought that they were being kind of silly when they were like, oh, it's the sea breeze. Mm-hmm. It's like the ocean weather. But there had to be something going on with this mega wall, right?
Definitely. And we'll come back to this over the course of the episode here. But nobody makes it up the mega wall. Nobody even comes close.
Close. Yeah.
So there's definitely something going on here. And I did write later on, like, kind of not the coolest thing in the world that these people are missing out on $10,000 because the city they got invited to is right next to the water and very, you know, moistery. And in the previous city, they got to be in a stadium where it was nice and weather controlled.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, not fair.
Yeah, I'd be annoyed. Like, you owe me $10,000.
Yeah, I would definitely say that, like any professional sport, it's like, well, weather is just kind of part of it. But there's one place that's indoors. That's a really good point. Like, it would be more fair if it was, you know, at least every single city was outside.
Yeah. So unfortunately, Joe is not going to make that $10,000. The streak, they say, is over. But I mean, come on, he finished the course.
But it doesn't mean that he's in any worse shape.
Yeah. So then we got Brandon Singletary, who went on the course here and went out on the Dangerous Curves. I believe this is the guy who his dad also went out on the Dangerous Curves.
Oh yeah, they were fun.
Yeah, they went out in the same place.
Mm-hmm. After the getting the call montage.
Yes. Then we had Tamika Catchings. Well, that's a funny last name for a basketball player.
Well, at that point, you have to go into sports.
Exactly. I'm confused. She's a basketball player, but she has Olympic medals because I guess they play basketball in the Olympics, right?
Yes. It's not like she's a WNBA player that also happens to be an Olympic bobsledder.
You never know.
I do. They play basketball in the Olympics.
You named the one sport in the Olympics that like other athletes do compete in, like sprinters do bobsledding too sometimes.
Okay. Sure. She is a WNBA player that won Olympics for basketball.
Well, there you
go. Won gold medals for basketball. Yes. She's like legit a superstar athlete. Like sometimes they'll say like this person is like huge in the world of like whatever random sport, but this person actually is a superstar athlete.
I believe you.
Okay. Thank you. Believe women. I also have, in my brain refer to hard of hearing people as HOH, but then it looks weird in my notes because HOH is already a thing that I take notes on for different podcasts.
I'm going to say, you'd think that Olympic, like big sporting events would be a bigger thing. Like basketball, like Olympic, like people are way more excited about, in my opinion, from just like not being interested in sports. And from what I hear, people are usually way more excited about like the NBA finals than the like Olympic best of the best. Everyone's competing kind of deal.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think part of that is like, it is easier, at least for me, to feel loyalty to like Pittsburgh than to the US. So when it's a bunch of people from a bunch of different teams playing against some of my favorite players, my favorite hockey player is Canadian. He's not even on my team in the Olympics, you know? So it's weird. And also the Summer Olympics or the Olympics in general are super exciting because some of these sports you only get to see every 4 years, whereas you can watch basketball every year.
But it's in my head, this is like if you gathered together all of the best Big Brother players of all time and, pitted them against the best Canadian players and imagine there were other countries that did cool versions of Big Brother that weren't just lame voting things from America or from the audience. Uh-huh. That's some country bias right there. And that was
it's weird how America votes on every Big Brother season, so even weird. If it's in France.
That sounds crazy exciting. That would be like the biggest event ever. But for whatever reason, I guess there's just not as much personally at stake.
Yeah, it's like it's fun to watch Big Brother because of like the personalities and the strategy. It's fun to watch basketball, but every game kind of looks the same.
I mean, I guess it's kind of analogous to the USA versus the world.
Yeah. Yes, it is very analogous to that. Yeah. In that it doesn't need to be 3 hours long.
All right. Well, that was Tamika. She unfortunately the dangerous curves were too dangerous for her.
Yes, too dange.
Yeah. Then we had Kara Pulio.
I can't tell you.
Well, she went out on the dangerous curves as well. A lot of women. In fact, at least two of them, definitely three of them went out on the dangerous curves. No, four
so
of them.
Many.
Four of them did. At least
you were right. Four is at least two.
Two of them qualified, and those two were Carter Olsen and Kara Pulio. So the other Tamika and Casey, I think. Casey. Yep. Didn't qualify.
All right, May.
Mike Salenzi. was next. The Stallion.
Yeah, and now there's a ninja alliance called the Four Horsemen. First, Ooh. Big Brother takes Black Widow from Survivor. Now American Ninja Warrior takes the Four Horsemen.
I gotta say, though, at least Black Widow's was a good alliance initially.
The Four Horsemen did fine.
I mean, one of them did end up winning, yes.
Yeah.
But...
they all made it pretty far.
Pretty much half of them went out pre-jury, so...
Guys, sorry to spoil Survivor Fiji. Wait, is that true?
The Four Horsemen and Big Brother?
Oh, no, girl, I'm talking about Survivor Fiji.
Oh, you're talking about Fiji?
Yes.
See, I was talking about Big Brother.
Okay, I was like, I feel like the Four Horsemen did really well in Survivor. I mean, like,
Big Brother was prior to Fiji. This is Big Brother 5.
Okay, I didn't know that.
You know what? I should have assumed that.
Yeah, Taryn, that would be insane for me to make a Big Brother 5 reference. Despite the fact that I have not seen 1 second of it.
I am way too used to just everyone around me knowing Big Brother trivia.
I'm here to keep you grounded.
All right. So there you go. Mike goes out there. I don't think I wrote it down.
It doesn't matter.
Then we, let's see, Mike Salenzi is not going. No, he is going to qualify. That's why, because he didn't go out. He completed the course.
Oh, great. Oh yeah. Cause they were all, running around in a circle on their horses.
Yes. All right. So that was Mike. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Next up was Garrett Lamb.
Yeah, who went to Harvard and now is a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford. Cool. Yes. Relatable.
Mm. His brother has cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And he's going to do pretty well here.
Yeah, he will. It's crazy that you can be this smart and successful and also have compassion and be good at ninja. Pretty stupid, if you ask me.
Seems to me like he's hiding something. That was a joke.
You mean we're not really going to launch a serial-esque investigation into what Garrett is hiding?
I mean, we could. Could be our next podcast.
I think that's going to be true. Oh my God, I forgot about Holy Moly.
You still haven't watched Holy Moly.
No, as soon as you said next podcast, it occurred to me that I haven't watched Holy Moly.
I'm going to forget about it by the time we talk about it.
I didn't even remember. I didn't even have time to record this podcast this week. How was I going to have time to watch Holy Moly?
I mean, it'll happen eventually.
It really will.
You'll be punished with it someday.
The people need it.
All right. Well, Garrett is going to complete the course, and then we are going to get Jamie Ron, and they're going to make a big deal out of how he went shoeless last year.
Yeah, his whole family is shoeless, because remember that time?
Yeah, we didn't need that.
Because otherwise, how would anybody remember who Jamie Ron is?
Yeah, we didn't need a close-up of the feet.
Oh, I so agree with you. I am so weird about feet. I don't like them at all.
Look, feet are fine as long as they're just like, you know, regular feet.
As opposed to what, Taryn?
I don't know. I just don't want to see non-regular feet.
What does that mean? What are irregular feet to you? And let's offend a lot of people with your answer.
If you've ever seen a foot and you've been like, didn't want to see that. That's what I mean.
But I'm saying that any foot that I ever see, I'm like, I don't want to see that.
Well, then you know what I mean.
So all feet are irregular?
No, just some feet are okay to see.
No, unless they're attached to my body.
All right.
I think the thing here is that as long as feet are doing what feet are supposed to be doing, which is allowing yourself to walk and not being focused on by a camera for some reason, then feet are acceptable.
You know what? Jamie Ron's feet, they're fine.
Okay, so you didn't have a problem with this.
Well, they didn't show Jamie Ron's feet.
Oh, they showed his family's feet.
Yeah. Nothing against Jamie Ron's family. Just.
It sounds like you hate Jamie Ron's family.
Maybe I just really like Jamie Ron.
So in comparison, everybody else's feet look gross.
Yeah.
Because he has such great feet. All right, well, that's fair.
This year, he has custom shoes
Oh, that's good.
Yes. So they're not going to come off.
Fall off. Yeah.
Imagine having, see, that to me seems like a really irregular foot, that you have feet that are so weird they can't fit into a normal size without falling off. So you have to get them custom.
Oh, I don't know if it's like that. I think it's just that he's just, you know, regular average foot just going into a regular average shoe. But now he's like, no, I want custom shoes.
For his great feet that you love so much.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Jamie Ron is, of course, going to complete the course.
Of course.
Of course. Completely. With shoes. Yes. Next up is Alyssa Beard.
Yes.
The most famous fifth grade teacher in all the land.
What about Jeff? Says. What about Jeff Foxworthy on Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Not a teacher.
I mean, he's kind of teaching.
But not a teacher.
If those fifth graders didn't know something and then he read the answer, then he taught them that thing.
Yeah, but then you could say basically anybody that ever talks to a fifth grader is a teacher.
Yeah, I think that's true. Taryn, children are our future and we're all their teachers.
But there are specific people who are specific teachers as their job.
Yeah,
and
that's
one
true.
Of those people is Alyssa Beard.
You're right. She looks cold. Her nose is really red.
Wow.
It's not a critique. It looks cold in Baltimore.
Maybe that was the look she was going for. Maybe she wanted, you know, a little bit of a red nose.
Oh, for Red Nose Day.
Yeah. And now you're just calling her cold.
See, she looks cold. I was also wondering where James McGrath was. And this is not a gossip podcast, but I did do an Instagram deep dive and they do appear to still be together. They haven't posted photos together in a long time, but I assume that's just because they live in different places. But they have liked all of each other's most recent Instagram photos.
You didn't see he was there on the sidelines.
Oh, I didn't see him.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit concerned because they were not mentioning him in the package at all.
Yeah, they didn't mention him and I didn't see him.
But
so.
Then when she started running, they said, and look, her boyfriend, James McGrath, is on the sidelines cheering her on. I was like,
I was already furiously looking at Instagram by that point.
Yeah, you missed it because you were busy stalking her on Instagram, trying to find.
Yeah, evidence that they're still together.
Yes.
It seems like they are.
Akbar, who loves the fact that she's a teacher, is going to say that she is taking this course to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she doesn't really because she doesn't finish.
She makes it far, though. She gets to crank it up. She is going to be the top female finisher of the night.
Not finisher, but qualifier.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she finished. She didn't complete.
In the water.
She finished her test. She just didn't complete her test.
She finished her test in that she is not still to this day hanging on to crank it up.
Correct.
Her run is over.
Yes.
She did not finish the course.
Her package was also about like, oh boy, did it suck going out in that first obstacle last year.
Yeah, they love to not highlight the actual achievements of the ninjas and rather their failures.
Yeah, she made it to Vegas, but she went out on the first. They kind of made it seem like she went out on the first obstacle of like the qualifying course.
Right. Yeah, it's like that was Vegas. She did great.
Then we got Justin Andelin, who works at a zoo.
No, boo.
Went out and crank it up. Joe Capobianco.
Okay.
And then we got Chris Wilczewski.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, what's the guy got to do? Drown again?
Right? Love Chris Wilczewski, but he did get montaged here. He went for the mega wall, and last year he got the mega wall, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He got the mega wall first try. He's had a year to train on it, and now he goes for the mega wall and he doesn't even come close in three tries.
Yeah,
there's something wrong with that mega wall.
Covered in Old Bay seasoning.
That sounds gross.
Old Bay?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really good. It's like a Maryland thing.
Okay.
It's good on french fries.
All right, I'll not take your word for it on that one.
All right. People mostly put it on crabs. I've obviously never had it on crabs.
All right. Next up was Lucas Real, who was a newcomer last year and he's going to complete the course.
Mazel.
Then I'm going to get Anthony DeFranco, who went out. This was, I wish we had seen this run, because this is a great finish where he gets to the top and Matt and Akbar are like, "You were so close." He's like, "Oh man, how much did I miss it by you?" They're like, "Just a little bit."
Yeah, like literally less than 1 second.
Yeah. Then we get Dave Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my favorite package of the night. Maybe my favorite package from the whole season thus far, because it was all about Ninja. And it was just about like this guy and his passion for it and his determination for how much he wants to be there. Known as the King of the Walk-Ons. He has spent 77 days total in walk-on lines over the course of his ninja career. And finally, this year, he got the invite. He's very happy. And we've never really gotten much of a package on him before.
Yeah.
But I was really happy. Like, this is the kind of package I like to see. It's about the show, not about his life outside of the show. I like that. Mm-hmm. And it fits in the context of the show, because he's just, it's so dramatically just like, yeah, he wants to be there. He's so passionate about this.
Yeah. I mean, no offense, but he probably doesn't have very much of a life outside of the show.
Ouch.
To speak of. If he's able to just like wait for 77 days.
Some
total
people just have a dream and they're willing to sacrifice for it. Lita?
I agree. I'm saying that it's great that he has made this his life. But if you can just up and go and wait in a walk-on line every year.
You don't know what he's sacrificed.
You're right. I literally don't, because I don't know what his job is besides waiting and walk on lines.
Well, he is going to speed through the course and manages to get the fastest time of the night thus far as he makes it up the wall. He's so exhausted as he gets up there, but he hits the buzzer. He's so happy. This is a very great moment from my perspective. I really like this.
Yeah, he deserves it.
And there was one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Akbar saw him.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. Akbar hasn't been seeing people a lot lately.
Yeah, maybe Akbar's having vision problems from all of the ocean air.
Must be, but
his vision.
He sees Dave Kavanaugh. That's mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, with the fastest time.
Yes. Finally, we get to Najee Richardson, who is here. He is going to, of course, just, you know, dominate the course.
Yeah, he has these Cheeto pants on that look like they should glow in the dark, like you should wear them to play laser tag.
I am always a fan of Najee's style choices, personally.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with wearing laser tag appropriate attire.
I agree. I think he always just looks cool.
He is a cool person.
Yeah. He does well here. Also getting through Crank It Up very quickly in very few moves. And he is also going to go for the mega wall and also not even going to come close. If Najee can't make it up the mega wall in three tries, then something serious has gone
Najee,
wrong.
Najee, Joe Moravsky, and Chris Wilczewski, that is a good enough sample size.
Yeah. And I think that all three of them are owed $10,000.
Yeah, maybe the show was like tired of giving away that much money, so they put like vegetable oil on it.
Yes. And so this is going to get us to the power tower, which is Connor Galvin versus Dave Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that Dave Kavanaugh was there because I really enjoyed his run and I was happy to see him. But I also did feel, again, the sort of weakness in the format right now, I think, where, like, how fun would this have been to see Najee versus Joe on the Power Tower? Mm-hmm. Like, it was very cool. Very cool to see Dave ultimately win the Power Tower. He was so emotional. It was a really great moment. It was probably one of my favorite moments of the whole episode. At the same time, I still wanted to see Joe and Najee do this too.
Yeah. Bring back Ninja versus Ninja.
Right?
Is the answer to this. That show was so fun.
You could see how ridiculously slippery it was when they were trying to climb the pole. Dave, especially as he's trying to climb the pole on the power tower, his feet were slipping, his hands were slipping on the pole. Like, it must have been real slippery out there.
Yeah, it was either that it had rained recently or that it was like super humid or something.
Something. Yeah. So that was Baltimore. We have the leaderboard here. Dave Kavanaugh in the number one spot, followed by Connor Galvin, Anthony DeFranco, Lucas Rial, Jamie Ron, Brandon Stenta, Brandon McWilliams, Michael Salenzi, Garrett Lamb, Joe Morofsky, Najee Richardson, Chris Wolcheski, all three of them failed the mega wall. And then we had people who started failing at Crank It Up. Joe Capobianco, Tristan Poffenberger, Alex Goodwin, Clayton Mirage, Zach Barefoot. Ooh.
What?
Why wasn't he in this episode given the feet talk?
Ron. Yeah. Wow. Maybe that's Jamie Ron's pseudonym.
Yeah.
And he ran twice.
Eli Bell, Lucio Batista, Logan Craiglow, Justin Andelin, Anthony Eardley, Ryan Ratazzi, Ryan Lee, Alyssa Beard made it in the top 30.
Yay.
Kevin Lang, Julius Ferguson went out on the hazard cones, as well as Jonathan Stevens, Daniel Eskent, and Zach Day. And then the top five women were, of course, Alyssa Beard, followed by Abby Clark, who went out on the hazard cones, along with Angela Cargano, and then both Carter Olson and Cara Pulio went out on the dangerous curves.
This would have been a good spot to take some of the women who competed in the Jesse Graff, Meghan Martin qualifier.
I mean, you, here. But that's the thing. The second you put like Jesse Graff or Meghan Martin in here, and then it's Alyssa Beard and Meghan Martin and Abby Clark.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe they were thinking that Casey Rothschild was going to be a big star. Yeah. All right. That was Baltimore.
And now we're going to move on to Cincinnati.
Have you ever been to Cincinnati?
I have not.
It's really weird because it's in Ohio, but it's so close to Kentucky that it has like more of a southern feel than a Midwest feel.
Interesting.
I've spent a bit of time in Cincinnati myself.
All right. Well, since the Cincinnati course had the shrinking steps, of course, and then the ring swing where you grab onto a ring, you swing over, you transfer to another ring, hop it off the hook and dismount. Then the spinning bridge, which I feel like is one of the more difficult balancey agility obstacles, even though it's a little bit more forgiving when you fall, I think you're more likely to fall. It's a large series of, there's probably like at least eight of them, just spinning sort of beads that you have to run over, and get to the other side. Then you have the wing nuts, just three wing nuts. You know, grab on, lache side to side, hop over to the next one.
And then, lache side to side?
Yes.
Okay.
And then a new obstacle, the slingshots. This one just looked tiresome.
It was also like, I don't know, like watching on TV, it was sort of hard to tell because every time you did it correctly, it looked like when you mess up the salmon ladder and it like falls also attached to the wire. So I kept being like, and then realizing that they didn't fall.
There was exactly one person that it was like not a slog to watch do this obstacle.
Yeah,
it's just too slow for me. I like the fast obstacles.
I agree.
Then we get, oh, sorry, I didn't describe it. You grab onto a pole and you have to jump the pole in between, you know, these, they're like, platforms for the pole, but they're made out of bungees. And so it sinks into the bungees and you have to jump out of them and then into the next set of bungees, and they're at varying heights. And, there's like eight of them or something. So it takes a while to get through this. So that was the course there for, and of course the mega wall and the warped wall at the end. That's the Cincinnati course. I feel like this was a, like, not the most difficult course in the world.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But I don't know. I feel like the ultimately we get about the same amount of, you did not qualify in the top 30 if you went out earlier than the second to last, the slingshot obstacle. So getting to the slingshot was, I think, just a little bit easier than normal.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to kick this one off with the Natty Ninja, James Wilson.
Oh, like Cincinnati.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have the same reaction.
Right. Well, there's there's a beer called Natty Light, but Natty is short for natural.
Mm.
So I thought it was spelled like that, N-A-T-T-Y.
Yes. His wife has MS, and he has very long hair.
And he's friends with Andy Dalton, who's the quarterback of the Bengals.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I was like, who's this guy and why is he out here? they're like, it's the Natty Ninja. And then this like this big guy walks out. And I was like, what? I feel like my memory is not working here because that does not look like the guy I was thinking this was.
Yeah, in that they are different races.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also vastly different hair.
Yes, vastly different. James has cool hair.
Yes. I thought you referred to the other guy at first.
No, Andy Dalton doesn't have cool hair. He has non-notable hair.
Yes. Unfortunately, though, the Natty Ninja here is going to go out on the Wingnuts and will not qualify.
Yes, RIP. I feel like it was weird that we started with two people who went out on the Wingnuts.
It was a little strange. They got to build up the Wingnuts as difficult, even though a lot of people got through them.
Yeah, we already know that.
All right. Then we had Johnny Pietilla.
How many cousins did it say this guy had?
Like 112 or something.
How is that even possible?
106. They said he's got like his parents had like, you know, it was his dad was like one of nine siblings and his mom was like one of six.
Yeah. And then all of them had kids.
I guess so.
That's so crazy. He's from Michigan.
There you go. This was kind of a funny package. You know, I feel like they could have just read the statistic of how many cousins he had and that would have been fine, but.
Yeah, I can't even imagine this. I only have four cousins.
Wow.
Very small family.
Yeah. So get on the program.
I can't get on this program with that story. The four cousin ninja is a terrible nickname.
Mm, all right. Well, maybe you should just get more cousins is what I'm saying.
I'll go back in time and tell my parents to have more siblings. Or I guess tell their parents.
No need to be sarcastic. Just grow more siblings.
I don't know how to do that. I guess I will have more cousins when I get married.
There you go.
Probably.
You must find somebody along the lines of Johnny Pietilla.
Who has that many cousins? All right. I'll look.
Are they cousins-in-law? Is that how it works?
Yeah, but who says that?
Probably Johnny.
No, he probably just says cousins.
I guess so. All right. Well, he is also, as you mentioned, going to get to the Wingnuts and then go out.
Yes.
Then we had Logan Broadbent, who went out on the ring swing, Jamie Ross, who went out on the spinning bridge, and Hugh Berkey, who went out on the Wingnuts. And Hugh was the magician.
Ooh. But not the hypnotist?
No.
Okay.
This is the guy that did the card trick.
Okay, lots of supernatural occult stuff happening.
Yeah, they really wanted to be like, we're having such a great time here in Cincinnati with all this silly, crazy nonsense, right, guys?
Yeah, so much silly, crazy nonsense.
At one point, Matt says, we're definitely having fun here in Cincinnati. And I was like, that's definitely something I hear from somebody having fun.
Is there a gun to your head? Definitely.
Amanda O'Dell is the lunch lady ninja. I don't know if she actually called herself that, but
she did. It was okay. On her shirt.
Okay, good.
And she's a lunch lady and a mom of four, even though she looks 18.
Yes. And I thought she was really doing a bit of a humble brag at the start. She was like, you know, when you think of a lunch lady, you think of somebody old, who's crone.
Like not pretty.
Yeah. And then there's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, okay.
She encourages kids to eat healthy.
Yes. You know, she's a lunch lady.
Mm-hmm.
There were some awkward scenes here.
Yeah.
In the school cafeteria.
Of her being like, do you want to eat your veggies? And then promptly handing them a hamburger.
There you go. She is going to take on the course here. She is going to get all the way to the slingshot. She's going to be the first person to get through the wing nuts that we see on the episode at the very least. And then she is going to quickly go down on the slingshot. She is going to qualify as one of the top five women.
Very prolific lunch lady.
Yes, she's going to be even more popular at lunchtime.
I'm sure she will be. Oh, the Cincinnati Reds mascot is here, and he's a blatant ripoff of Mr. Met.
Oh, no. How dare they?
He looks exactly like the Mets mascot.
I'm appalled.
I mean, listen, you can do a side-by-side here. They look exactly the same.
I believe you.
Okay.
And I am truly... Look, I don't know why you... It seems like you think I'm being sarcastic, but I am genuinely...
The only difference is that Mr. Red... Oh, wait, maybe they're related, because it's Mr. Met and Mr. Red. Mr. Red has an enormous mustache and way more terrifying eyes. Jesus, good Lord.
But the mustache, how big is
there,
it?
There appears to also be... the mustache is huge. Biggest mustache I've ever seen. I've ever experienced.
Whoa, Lita.
Way more than 18 inches.
Are they cousins? Do you think? Mr. Red and Mr. Met.
Oh, maybe. In-law? Because there appears to also be a female Cincinnati Reds mascot named Rosie Red.
Oh.
I mean, I guess this is better than like, I mean, their team name is racist, right? So I guess.
Oh, boy.
No, it is.
Oh.
It's like one of those, baseball teams that is named after like a Native American word.
For a moment, I thought you literally meant their team name is racist, like the word racist.
The Cincinnati Racists.
Like, what?
The Cincinnati
They can get
racist.
Away with what nowadays?
But I think originally the Reds was like the Blackhawks or the Redskins or something like that.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it is.
Now it's an abbreviated version of the racist name.
I think that they're probably like trying to move away. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it has always been just like
maybe
the
they
color.
Just really like the color red and you're being I don't know.
I'm a
red hater. Of the color red.
I'm famously not a baseball person. So I could be just completely wrong on this. So Cincinnati people, please don't come for me. Anyway, I like your non-racist baseball head man, even though he is a blatant ripoff of Mr. Met.
Well, you're walking on thin ice.
Yeah, I really might be. Now I feel like I'm completely wrong. Anyway, I admitted it.
All right. So that was Mr. Red.
Oh, my God. I'm thinking of the Cleveland Indians.
Ooh.
Okay. I apologize to the great city of Cincinnati. I am thinking of the Cleveland baseball team, which is the Cleveland Indians, which has a very racist logo.
Are they still that team?
Yes. And they still have the same logo of a cartoonish Native American that is super offensive.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So anyway, apologize to the great city of Cincinnati. I'm not a baseball person. I got your teams mixed up.
All right. Well,
now that we've worked through that.
So now that we're through the false accusations
leveled against the city of Cincinnati,
their names have been cleared.
Mm-hmm.
We had Justin Minyard went out on the spinning bridge. Ron Zagman, who went out on the wing nuts, and Mike Wright, the speedo guy.
Oh yeah, we don't like that.
I thought you did.
I didn't. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it in the same way that you did.
I've never been a fan personally.
Wait, is he hot? Because this totally depends.
I mean, I don't think he's unattractive.
Okay. I didn't even notice that he was in this montage.
All right. Well, he was. He went out on the slingshot. And if I scroll down, he did qualify for the city finals. So
okay.
We'll
I will revisit
more.
This and make a judgment in the finals.
All right. Sounds good. Now, here we go. Next up was Mike Bernardo.
Machine Gun Mike.
Yes, this was a scary package.
Yeah, he got injured at work at the firefighting office.
He had a diagnosis. He was worried about being diagnosed with ALS.
Yeah, or like some other
or Parkinson's.
Terminal.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he went to a dark place. He was drinking every day, and then he ended up staying with Chris Wilczewski.
Nice.
And to help get him out of that that place, which, if you remember Chris Wilczewski's past, is actually quite fitting, because Chris Wilczewski, one of his first like major packages on the show was that he had dealt with issues with alcohol, and that he had overcome that. So he was obviously the perfect person for Mike Bernardo to stay with, to help recover from this whole situation. And then he eventually gets diagnosed not with ALS or Parkinson's or anything like that, but I don't think, did they actually name it? It's had something to do with
they did, but I've never heard of it.
Yeah, like twitching muscles. And I don't know how much that impacts him. I don't know if that means that like is going to like impact his performance, but they seem to indicate that it might. I just don't know enough about what qualifies as like twitching.
Yeah, I don't either. But they did name it. It did not seem to be an optimistic diagnosis.
Yes.
From context clues.
Yes. Yeah.
Alcoholism and drug use is not something that we see very much talked about on American Ninja Warrior. Partly because, you know, this is kind of a family show, and I think that they're like a little skittish around that, but also because these people are generally like health nuts.
Right.
And, alcohol is not good for you, nor are drugs, and they seem to treat their bodies with so much respect. However, it's a disease, and it has nothing to do oftentimes with like, oh, I'm a healthy eater, so I'm just going to abstain from alcohol. You know, once you start, it is often very, very difficult to stop. So I just wanted to point out that I was glad to see that represented, because no person, regardless of athletic ability or health status, is immune from alcoholism or drug abuse.
Yes. And it also was like genuinely a very touching thing that he was able to, you know, fall back on a sort of safety net of the community that they've built around the show, and that they, you know, support each other and were able to help get him back on his feet. And now he is here to take on the course, and he is going to complete the course, the first one of the night.
Yes. Congratulations.
Great stuff from Mike Bernardo. Next up is Lindsay Partenio, who went out on the ring swing. She did not qualify for the city finals. And as always, that's going to mess up my flow. Thanks, Lindsay.
You went out on the second obstacle. So you thought she qualified?
You never know with the women.
With the women, yeah. They can't do ninja.
Next up was John Wilmus, who went out on the spinning bridge, and they did the slow-mo of him juggling his glasses in the air, trying to save the glass. He didn't catch him, though.
No, but he got the Malibon on the pool.
Yeah, then they really went for it here with Tony Geronimo, the
hypnotist.
Do you
think that's his real name?
No.
Hey, I'm Tony Geronimo.
He's such a stereotypical hypnotist.
What does that mean?
He's got that kind of like edgy look.
Uh-huh. I don't think I know any hypnotists. I couldn't tell you what a stereotype of a hypnotist is.
It's just if I tried to picture a hypnotist, I'd think of somebody like Tony Geronimo.
I'm just trying to think of like what a hypnotist stereotype would be. I'm like, oh, they're always holding watches on chains.
Yeah.
And also
they look a little edgy, like a little what's the magician's name, the edgy
Chris
looking
Angel.
Magician Chris Angel. Yeah, they got a little Chris Angel in them.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, Matt Eisman is a stand-up comedian, and he will take any chance to chew the scenery with some comedy here.
Yeah, but I feel like there's no way that this was done in real time.
What do you mean?
How does he know that he's going to fall on the first obstacle and then just immediately be able to come back and finish what he was.
Well, he didn't know. Maybe he would have done it the entire time, which would have been terrible because Akbar did not know what to do. He just kept going, Matt, Matt.
I will say, if Matt, I know you're listening because we're best friends. Mm-hmm. And if you did this in real time, then kudos. That was some great improv.
Yeah. Well, he's a comedian.
Yeah. So Matt is going to pretend to be hypnotized and then come back and Akbar's gonna be like, he's already fallen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was Tony Geronimo. Next up was Cameron Nave, who is doing this run for his father who recently passed away.
Was this the guy that wore a kilt?
maybe.
Okay.
I don't recall his lower half.
Somebody was wearing a kilt and it said like the Scottish ninja or whatever. The kilt ninja. Mm. He must have known that I was recently in Scotland.
Yes, obviously that was what he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he is running for his dad that he was not able to make it to watch him. It's the first event he's ever missed. But he is going to make the attempt here. And he is going to get all the way to the slingshot. So he does pretty well. And he does manage to squeak in there and qualify 28th place.
Okay, well, we'll see more of his kilt in the city finals.
We will. We will see more of his potential
unconfirmed kilt.
His Schrodinger's kilt.
Mm.
In the city finals. then we get a sad one. We see Tyler Yamauchi, who is unfortunately going to fall on the spinning bridge. I do feel like the height was a detriment on this one, not only in running across the spinning bridge, but when he fell, a lot of the taller competitors kind of will just fall and then roll off. Mm-hmm. But Tyler, I don't think had enough height to like keep the roll going. And so he kind of fell off into the water.
Yes, he was not so Gucci.
Oof. Oof. Then we had Jackson Thwaite.
Mm-hmm.
Who is really in love with his cat.
Yeah, okay. This was so weird. So, first of all, I knew that he was going to finish once he made it past the first obstacle because there was nothing remarkable about this person. But we still
except
got a really
cat.
Long... Yeah, but he also, like, rides a scooter, which is a perfectly normal thing to do. That is how, like, many people get around in DC. So they did a package of two completely normal things, owning a cat and loving it and riding a scooter for transportation, and then, like, tried to cobble them together to make something interesting because he does very well and goes to the power tower. But obviously, this guy is, like, not that interesting.
I don't know. The picture of him with his cat in, like, multiple different... like angles.
Uh-huh. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I think you and I can both identify with our cats being one of our best friends, if not our best friends.
I certainly love my cat, but I would not go get like professional photos done in like the 80s style with glam lighting of me and my cat.
Would you say that your cat is your best friend?
No.
You do spend more time with your cat probably than any single person.
Yes, but I would more say that my cat is my cat friend.
What?
My cattest friend, the cattiest of all my friends.
Ah, but I'm right here. I'm saying we're not friends.
He's more of a child to me than a friend.
Do you think that a parent can't be friends with their child?
It's not the same.
I think that my cat is one of my best friends. She's not my best friend, but don't tell her I said that. And also, I don't have the mother-child relationship with her because she just, I don't know. She lives at my mom's house, so I feel like my mom is her mom.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's a little kitten.
For the listeners at home, he's a full grown cat.
No, he's a little kitten.
Okay. Whatever you want to see about. See, this is the problem that parents have with their kids. They still see them as kids. You're not letting Kellis stay out late on weekends. You're exploiting him on Instagram?
Oh, no. He got a real good deal out of that.
Does he negotiate? He gets money from it?
Yeah.
He's going to become an influencer, and then you'll have to give him all his money.
He gets 80% of all Instagram proceeds, so he has now made an official $0.
$0, yeah. That's a pretty good cut.
It is.
If you ever make a dollar off of Instagram.
So Jackson Twait, really, I do agree, obviously, scooters and cats, not the craziest thing in the world, but his interview where he's like, making lots of cat puns was, I was like, okay, that's a little weird.
Yeah. The term cat daddy makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah. But, he does very well.
Yes,
obviously
he does. So I guess he does well out here. He is going to get all the way through the course and is going to be the second fastest to this point.
He is the fastest so far.
Fastest so far. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. I'm getting confused with the previous episode. Mm-hmm. Fastest to this point. And that's going to be Jackson Twait. Next up was Devin Nichols, who went out on the ring swing. Kareem Abdullah, which sounds familiar.
And you're thinking of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Possibly.
Who is a famous basketball player.
But I feel like I've seen this name on American Ninja Warrior before. I feel like we've seen it before. Okay. He went out on the spinning bridge. And then Jesse Maurer, who attempted the mega wall, but failed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then we had Mitch Wenzel. Who?
So embarrassing.
What?
He did so much dance. He did a full minute of dancing and then fell on the first obstacle.
Oh, I thought you were saying it's embarrassing how I pronounced his name.
No, this was an embarrassing run.
Yeah, don't exhaust yourself before running the course. Ryan Sutter went out on the spinning bridge. Oof. A lot of people went out there.
Ryan Sutter is the guy who won The Bachelorette.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Has he competed before?
3 times.
Has he ever qualified?
He may have qualified for city finals once, but he definitely never went to Vegas.
Then we had Naeem Mulki, who went out on the wing nuts. Then we get Michelle Warnke. Did we get much of a package from her?
Not really, but she was the entire promo from like next week on American Ninja Warrior. This girl's bleeding.
Oh no, look at her face.
Yeah.
What's going to go wrong?
Was there a plug for a podcast that wasn't ours during her run?
Yes. I think she's doing one, was what they were saying.
So rude. How do we get plugged?
I guess I have to go compete.
Yeah, please.
Michelle is going to have a great run, of course. She smacks her face on the ring, the second ring of the wing swing, and is going to have blood running down it for the rest of the run.
Mm-hmm. And it won't be the only conversation about rings we have. Am I right, Jesse LeBert?
She makes it all the way through, manages to finish the course. And I really loved in the interview afterward, they had the instant replay ready to go to show her so she could watch herself get smacked in the face by the ring.
Just in case she wanted to see it.
They should do more of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they're like, when they fail and they're like, oh man, I don't know what happened. They should be like, well, as you can see.
No, that would make them feel so much worse. I don't know what happened, Zuri. I do.
I like this, though. I like watching them watch themselves. It's fun.
Yeah, Michelle's so great. I'm so happy for her.
Yes. Then we had the towers of... I almost called them the power towers.
Yeah, well, that's one place they're not going.
Nope. they get ripped off and don't even get to compete on the power tower.
Yeah, they both go out on the slingshot. But I'm happy that Brandon Muir's son looks healthy.
Yes, and they both managed to, I believe, qualify.
Oh, really?
Brandon Mears and Dan Blizzy. Yes, both qualified for the city finals, which is a rarity.
Yeah, good for them.
Yes, they both almost went out on the agility balance obstacle, which is often their downfall.
Yeah.
So, because they both made it to the slingshot, so that is why they're going to qualify. Then we are going to get Ethan Swanson.
Yeah. So I just opened Instagram to see if Ethan Swanson still follows me, which he does. And when I went to the search feature, the first thing, I don't know if you could see this on IGTV, is Ethan Swanson's run on American Ninja Warrior. It's like on my Instagram.
What I was going to say here is that Ethan Swanson, I don't know if it's him or if it's the producers, somebody figured out how to market Ethan Swanson for American Ninja Warrior.
Because what do you mean?
He has always been the daredevil ninja, right? Like the guy that does crazy things on YouTube and also competes on American Ninja Warrior. But for this season, they instead decided to go with, no, we're going to tie this in. He's training for American Ninja Warrior. And it's a unique way to train where he's training his fear. And so they're using things that he's already been doing for a long time. And saying this is training, and they're tying it into when he runs. Oh, he has no fear on the course. He's trained his fear away. This is good branding.
I also lied. He doesn't still follow me on Instagram.
Oh, brutal.
Don't worry, Meghan Martin still does.
Okay.
I just had to check instantly. But like, I didn't even follow Ethan Swanson. He followed me, and then I followed him back, and now he unfollowed me. Do you think, man, I said something?
You got bamboozled.
Do you think it was because I hate swans?
Probably.
And I talked about how much I hate swans.
I bet that was it. He listened to the podcast, and he was like, I cannot believe the slander she is slinging at swans.
I know. That must be it, because I've never said anything rude about him. I'm sorry, Ethan.
Yeah, well, I wasn't a fan of his haircut.
It's not really a haircut. It's a lack of haircut.
Yeah.
It's too much hair.
So maybe I wouldn't have said that if he still followed Lita.
Ethan Swanson.
but doing well on the show there. He managed to, of course, get a great marketing here in the package. He's really going for it with his swan, thing.
Song. Yes.
The little gesture he does.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
really making
one
that
song will be when he retires.
Yeah, really making that happen. He was the only person that I was like, yes, I enjoyed watching him on the slingshot because he was able to just kind of hop through most of it.
Yeah.
All right.
And he gets the fastest time.
Yes, fastest time of the night thus far.
I think total.
Yes, it's also total, but also thus far.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't want to spoil it.
Okay.
All right. Next up was Mickey Wendling, who went out on the spinning bridge. Jerry D. Aurelio, who went out on the slingshot. So she is going to qualify.
Shana na.
Mm-hmm. No shucky ducky.
Quack. No.
Quack, quack.
Yeah.
Then we had Sam Gary, who was a wrestler. Mm-hmm. And completed the course.
And made Matt Nockbar wear sunglasses.
You really gotta force them to wear sunglasses. They are usually very anti-sunglasses.
Have you ever seen them wear sunglasses on the course?
Exactly. I mean, let's ignore the fact that it's nighttime.
Yeah. They look cool.
Then we get Drew Lakey Lachey. Lachey, yes. Drew Lachey.
This guy is famous, so this one I do know.
From 98 Degrees.
Yeah, we're both too young for 98 Degrees. We're not going to pretend like we know this band.
I mean, I know of it. I'd probably recognize the song that they do.
I know of it, too. I couldn't name a single song by them. Nick Lachey, his brother, is more famous. He dated Jessica Simpson. I believe he was on The Hills briefly.
So of course that would be more famous.
Well, Nick Lachey is more famous than Drew Lachey.
Okay, I'm looking up. I'm looking up 98 Degrees songs.
I remember.
Oh, I forget
Nick
this is on the podcast. No, I can't stop it. Stop.
What?
I was playing the song.
What? Oh, I can't hear it.
I know, but the audience could.
Oh.
That was only 7 seconds. That's still fair use.
I thought you just didn't. I didn't even understand what you meant. I thought you just didn't want to subject your audience to 98 Degrees music. Still fair use. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know any of those songs.
These are like real like 90s music videos here.
Yeah. I Do Cherish You is their most famous song. Which
that was the song
heard.
I was about to listen to.
Yeah, that song has 40 million listens on Spotify, and their next most popular song only has 8 million. So
there you go. Like I said, the song.
Mm-hmm, the song, which I don't know. Maybe I would know it if I heard it, but I'm not allowed to listen to it.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, he doesn't do very well because he's stunt casting.
Yeah, he is going to take on the course here and going to ultimately go out on the ring swing, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Yeah, was not able to get past that that second ring. Mm-hmm. Next up was Tamara Kirk, who was out on the. This is the walk on montage.
Yes.
And so they went through a bunch of the walk-on picks here. Tamara Kirk goes out on the shrinking steps. Vinny Tapia goes out on the spinning bridge. Jonathan Cooley is going to get to slingshot, and that means that he is going to qualify. Mm-hmm. Then Cameron Baumgartner is going to complete the course. And Dustin Rocco, I think, Rocco, they talked about who he was a staple of the early seasons of American Ninja Warrior. And I've got to say, I'm normally like, yes, they finally brought this person. I don't remember this guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he just looks too different. I don't know.
Maybe it's been a long time.
Normally I remember the old, because that's when I was like, really like, loving the show, like really into all the people.
Yeah. That's when we were really into it. As opposed to now where we just do a podcast about it.
Exactly. Like that was back when I remembered everyone instead of just writing everything down in notes.
Right. Okay.
So honestly, my memory is better when I don't write notes.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. They all kind of run together on this.
But he is back, and he is going to complete the course.
Happy for him. Love a classic.
Yes. Then we are going to get Chris DeGangi in a montage.
Mm-hmm, of
because
course.
Because he does not get the package about the engagement. That is Jesse's. He did not even complete the course. He got
that's
out on
because
the
I loved him saying that he's now gone from Jesse's boyfriend to Jesse's fiance. I love that he will always be just Jesse's boyfriend.
Well, no, now Jesse's fiance.
Jesse's fiance. Well, someday he'll be Jesse's husband.
Oh boy,
a promotion.
I gotta say, very very happy for them.
I am too. What I'm not happy about is that I can't see a picture of the freaking ring on her Instagram. I don't know when they got engaged, but there's a photo of them from June 25th, which is very recently. They must have been engaged. She's not wearing the ring. I know that they're like in bathing suits, so maybe she took it off, but she's not wearing the ring.
You know, I've never stopped to think about, like, I've seen that in like movies and television, or oh, let me see the ring. I never really thought about that as a real thing. Like, you actually care about seeing the ring.
Oh yeah. It tells you so much about the man.
Oh boy, does it?
Yeah, how much money he has, whether or not he has bad taste.
Certainly, surely there are modern couples that that work together to find a ring.
Well, now every woman has a Pinterest board, so they don't really have to worry about it.
Oh man.
What?
I guess you gotta check the Pinterest.
I always want to see the ring.
what if you see the ring and Jesse picked out the ring and you're judging Chris based on it?
I still want to see the ring. I'm very interested in engagement rings.
Okay. Lita's gotten very serious on me.
There's nothing I take more seriously than engagements.
Good to know. So Chris is going to go out on the slingshot. He does manage to qualify. He is the fastest to the slingshot, actually.
Good for him.
For a second there, I was like, whoa, I don't see his name. It's because he was all the way up at the top of the slingshot list. So that was Chris DeGangi. Next up is, of course, his fiance, Jessie LeBrec, who is going to, she is going to get the package about the proposal and that they are now fiancés.
Yeah, they're now engaged.
Jessie, of course, is going to do a great job here on the course, getting all the way through and finishing.
Yes, I'm so happy for her. So happy that she's still better at this than her fiance.
Yes, creating a bit of a streak of her own. Mm-hmm. This is her third time in a row.
Yeah, thank God she didn't go for the mega wall.
Yeah. But that's like, again, it's like you got to choose streaks or mega. Like, I would have liked to see her try the mega wall.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Well, next up was Aaron Hesch, who went out on the spinning bridge, and she will not qualify.
Yeah.
Going out there on the spinning bridge. Then we had Tyler Smith, who attempted the mega wall, but failed it. And then Michael Torres, who is going to make it or is going to try for the mega wall and fail it as well. So
he gets really close, though.
Yes. So that was Michael Torres. And then finally, last person here, Grant McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some tough times in qualifying courses in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe they were city like final courses.
Yeah, I think it's finals. Either way, he hasn't qualified for Vegas a couple times, even though he's been really close.
Yes. So he's looking here to not screw up and also make $10,000.
Yeah, and he does one of those things.
Yes, he does one and a half of those things.
Yeah. He doesn't screw up and he does half of the other thing.
So he is going to get to the end of the course, attempt the mega wall. He gets close his first try, and then very easily clears it on his second try.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Then he's gonna be like, yeah. Like very on Grant McCartney-esque at first.
He's really aggro and then he starts dancing.
Yeah. So there you go. Grant McCartney makes it up the mega wall, but is not faster than either Ethan Swan or Jackson Thwaite.
Ethan Swanson.
What did I say?
Ethan Swan.
Ethan Swan. Yeah, that's his name. No. Ethan Swan.
No.
I mean, that's he can unfollow her on Instagram, but if his name is Ethan Swan, that is it for him.
That's just not his name. I just want to make sure we're being accurate with our nemesis.
All right. Well, what did I tell you? First episode, I said they got the best power tower first, and they're going to make the last one the second best, or the first and last are going to be the two best ones.
Yes, you were correct.
Yeah. Ethan Swanson versus Jackson Thwaite. They are going to compete here. There are going to be multiple lead changes as Ethan takes an early lead. Then Jackson manages to catch up, surpass him. He's climbing up the pole faster. But Ethan Swanson, with no fear, is going to make a move at the end. It all ties in.
Just stared into my soul. He said, no fear.
No fear. He is going to hit that buzzer and beat Jackson, and Jackson is going to fall back dramatically.
Yes.
And as he fails, and Ethan wins, and then we're gonna watch Ethan afterward jump off in a swan dive.
Yes, a Swanson dive. Okay,
swan dive.
Okay,
don't get it wrong.
Listen, how's your caffeine?
If it's a Swanson dive, then his name is Ethan Swan.
Are you going to have to take more caffeine to finish your workout now? Because we've screaming on the spot.
It tends to last all day.
Okay. Maybe I'm just getting used to it.
Maybe.
All right. We have an iTunes review.
Oh, do we?
Yes, we do. We have one from Sun Dancers M. It's called Burning Questions Answered, 5 stars. My favorite part of this podcast is the commentary that tries to answer my burning questions. What does Shanana mean? Why do they keep the obstacle that everyone hits their face on? Why does Coolridge always get a montage? Is it because he's a dumpster diver? P.S. Thank you for pointing me towards his fantastic Instagram.
That was a good review.
Yeah, I like that they specifically said that we try to answer their burning questions because we've answered none of those questions.
Sometimes it surprises me when people know about what we talk about. Sometimes I feel like I'm speaking into the ether.
Yeah, well, please leave us more reviews like that. It makes us feel very good.
Yes, thank you very much. Also, we do have to run through the leaderboard here.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, we have Ethan Swanson at the top, followed by Jackson Twait, Cameron Baumgartner, Resi Prankrats. No, sorry, Pankrats.
Pankrats is such a good name.
Dustin Rocco, Jesse Lebreck, number 6.
Nice.
Mike Bernardo, Trevor West, and Sam Gary, and Michelle Warnke. Two female awesome finishers, one of which in the upper half there, almost. Then we had Grant McCartney, who got on the mega wall. He was the final slowest finisher behind Michelle. Then we had Michael Torres, Tyler Smith, and Jesse Moorer, who all failed the mega wall. Then the rest of them all failed the slingshot. Chris DeGangi, Jonathan Cooley, David Wammelsdorf, Jesse Wildman, Dan Palizzi, Derek Pavoni, Mike Wright, Philip Scott, Zane Paxi, Philip Hucky, Brandon Mears, Eddie Russell, Christopher Gabian, Cameron Knave, Amanda Odell, and Jerry D'Aurelio.
Oh, wow.
Yes, the top 3 female finishers managed to make it into the top 30.
Wait, there were only 2 female finishers, but there were 4 women in the top 30.
Yeah, that's it. The top 4 female competitors managed to make it into the top 30.
Yes, so only 1 woman qualified via the women's.
I don't know why you bothered to correct me on that, because I was definitely 100% correct the first time.
Every single part of your sentence was wrong. Okay. Anyway, good night for the ladies.
Yes, the fifth female athlete to qualify in the top 5 women was Jamie Ross, who went out on the spinning bridge.
Who is different than Jamie Ron.
Yes. She only competes with shoes on every time.
Exclusively. Yeah. Could not be more different.
So there you go.
Great. Where can we find you on social media?
At Armstrong Taryn on Twitter.
And?
At Taryn_Armstrong on Instagram.
Where you can see his kitten. That's clearly such a small kitten.
It's a kitten.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted, Instagram Lita Grammed, where I promise if I ever get engaged, I will post the ring. And you can also read my blog, Drop Dead Culture, which is at LitaWrote.wordpress.com. Working on something about The Bachelorette right now.
You know what I was reminded of when you mentioned the dangerous curves?
What?
Drop Dead Culture.
Why?
Sounds dangerous.
It's so much culture, you'll die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just read at your own caution.
Yeah, read at your own risk. That's what I'm always saying. I should just rename the blog Literature.
I actually like that.
For when I write about books. Sometimes. All right. I feel like we got through that as efficiently as we could have.
I hope you enjoyed the double episode. It was meant on purpose to give you extra content.
Yeah, we just wanted to take the entire week of the 4th of July off because it is American Ninja Warrior and it would be un-American of us to work that week.
And it's also very American to say, you know what? I'm going to skip on the burger for a week and then I'm going to go with a double burger the next week because that I'm saving it up and I'm going to have a nice, juicy double burger podcast.
This is not relevant to me, and I also don't think is representative of Americans.
It's very American.
I hope you all had a lovely 4th of July now that it's the 9th of July. It's still within my right to say that.
Yes.
There were still fireworks. I live in the District of Columbia, and there were still fireworks going off last night outside my apartment.
Yeah.
People are monsters.
Fireworks are cruel.
They are awful. They scare dogs and also me.
And also kittens.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went under the bed.
Aww. Yeah, they keep waking me up, and I think that it's war.
I had to lay under the bed with my...
Oh, God, that's so sweet. Okay, on that note.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you